heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, some well graven tongue of love. Raise the mountain, fix the falling, from the thy redeeming love. Here I pray from
Amazing Grace, 203. Went to 302. We don't want to take away from Brother Charlie, so let's all stand. We're going to sing the first verse and the last verse. If you want to preach for an hour, you better stretch. Glad to see all y'all here today. Now, we had a bunch of visitors last week. I don't really know if you call them visitors because they come every now and again. But y'all need to start hitting on those people that they ought to come more often. Or else they need to go somewhere more often, one or the other. But they don't need to stay at home more often. They need to be in the house of God with the people of God more often, just like we all do. I was thinking about, we keep getting talking about what God has done, and we find new things being, or the world with newer telescopes and newer microscopes find things that they never knew existed, and they say, look, we found some new creation. I want you to understand, just like Lucian said, everything that was created was made in the specific time that it was made, and it was made right then. And I look like, at this time, I'm really a simple guy. Really, I am. We heard how a few months back or a few weeks back how God, who was before time, always has been. God, who after time, always will be. And then there's time. I look at that like a parade. You ever go to a parade or you watch TV on a parade and they have this booth set up. And the announcer and all is right there in that booth. That is time happening right now. You can't see what's going on way around the corner over there. And you can't see what's done past all around the corner over here, but what's in the booth, that's right now time. But God, sitting way up here, can see the beginning,
right,
and the ending and the middle. And that's my simple way of how God does everything. It's just like me watching a parade. I can only see what's right there in front of me. You can only see what's right there in front of you. But God sees the whole thing. And not only does He see the whole thing, He purposed the whole thing. This morning I'm going to be in Romans chapter 8. And I'm doing this very fearfully because I'm afraid I know someone who loves Romans chapter 8. And I'm afraid I might have stepped all over his spot. I hope not. I didn't do that on purpose, and I didn't do that. But some reason, Romans chapter 8 has been thrown around a whole lot today. So get in the club. You can fix what I mess up tonight.
Amen.
There is, therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is now, therefore. Not sometime future, not sometime out yonder, but right here now. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are no longer under condemnation. As He has spoken this morning in John chapter 3, verse 36, it says, the ones who have the Son have life, and the ones that have not the Son, the wrath of God abides on them already or forever. So either you're now without condemnation, or the wrath of God still abides on you. There's no in between. Now, I'm not saying that nobody can't get saved. That's not what I'm saying. That's what I get up here for, is to hope somebody would be saved. Hope God would move on somebody. But right now, if you're not in Christ, you're under condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For we that live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if the children of God, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, so be we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the Son, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body, or the redemption of our body, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that's where Brother Breland's going to take over tonight, I'm afraid. So I'm going to start back at number one. I'm going to be light on you. I'm expecting much, though. It says here, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That means these people have put their trust and faith in the fact that Jesus Christ has paid their sin debt. Not that he's done a little bit on the cross, not that he did a little bit in the flesh, not that he did a little bit and that they must do something else to finish the work of Christ. Not a work. But they are totally trusting in that Jesus Christ totally died on the cross for them. I'd like to say for everybody, but the thing is, it ain't for everybody. It's for the one who believes. The one who believes that he died for them. It's a personal salvation. He died for me. And if you believe it, he died for you. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Does that mean I can go sin rapidly as I please? No. In fact, if I'm sinning rapidly as I please, then this belief in Jesus Christ was null and void, because I'm believing I have an insurance policy instead of a Savior. I have a Savior who was sinless, who was holy, who was righteous, who died for me, so therefore I, with all diligence, should do my very best to live a righteous, holy, sinless life. Did I say I could do that? No. But the thing is, I should try to do that. I shouldn't just throw everything to the wind and say, well, I can't do it, so therefore I'll just live like this, and God just had to use abundant grace to keep me on. God forbid. Because it doesn't say we should sin just to try out the grace of God. Although I will tell you, the grace of God will outdo every sin I ever do. Now, it's kind of hard to get the juggling act going on, but His grace will supersede all of my faults. Thank you, Jesus. And all of your faults. But if I'm just sinning just to see myself sin, I better check up, because the grace of God ain't laid on me at all. It says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned the sin in the flesh. It didn't say that Jesus came in sinful flesh. Jesus Christ did not have a human father. He did not have the blood of Adam in His veins other than His mother. And we get our sin natures from our fathers. Just guess what? We pass on to our children our sin natures, which we got from Adam, who passed it on to us. So our sin natures come from our Father, but Jesus Christ's Father was not a man. Jesus Christ's Father was God Himself. So although He was flesh, He was not in sinful flesh. He was in sinless flesh. Or else I'm misreading that whole verse right there. In the likeness of sinful flesh. He had flesh, but just not the very same flesh that we got. He did not sin. There was no sin in Him. There was no sin to be washed away. He had nothing to be worried about sin, because there was nothing in Him that was sinful. He got his bloodline from the Father, who is holy, holy, holy. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, when I got saved, I got this new heart, I got this new thing inside of me that says, don't keep walking the way you used to walk. Don't keep doing the way you used to do. The things you used to do, put those away. The things you used to be pleasure in, those don't please God. Those are the things you need to try to put down. And now I need to be doing things that are spiritually pleasing to God. I need to do things that would be pleasing to God even in the flesh, if at all possible. I need to bring my body into subjection. While I do believe wholly in what Joey preached the other night, that my faith is the victory. And I cannot do sinlessness. We've been preaching that for a long time here. I will never have sinless perfection, but I should try to fight sin as much as I can with all the strength that I have, even if I fail at it, because I have an advocate with the Father who, when I go to Him and say, forgive me when I have sinned, He is just and faithful to forgive me. But we see here, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I want you to understand, as a lost man, my only concern was making more money, having more fun, doing more things, all the worldly stuff. And that's what lost people do. I want to have life, and I want it full of gusto. I want the whole enchilada. But as a saved man, I see all that is vanity. All that is foolishness, because when I die from His place, when they load me in that little wagon that goes down the road to put me in the box, all of my junk ain't going to move one inch towards where I'm going. All my stuff, all my cars, all my stuff, my house, my yard, my dogs, they're all going to stay right there. And they're going to put me in that thing. And I'm not going to carry one thing from there out of here. All the carnal, fleshly stuff. All the things that I counted on as a lost man. All the things that I tried to build up a thing to be the most bestest of this or that to impress people. All goes away in the grave. It's all vanity. For to be carnally minded is death. If all I'm worried about is what I'm going to get in this world, if I'm going to get that guy who's rich or that girl who's rich, or if I'm going to get that Maserati or whatever it may be, all these things that make other people, whoa, you see what he's got? He's driving a Maserati. Yeah, it does 185. Whoo! That's way back for some of y'all. But you'll die driving like that. It'll help you get to that grave. It says these things are carnally minded, but the spiritual mind is life and peace. Life and peace, the spiritual mind is to tell somebody about a Savior, a person who came here, lived a sinless life, who can bring peace to all who believe, who can bring joy to all who believe, who can bring a life after to all who believe. You see, there's going to be a life after, not only the believer, but the unbeliever. But the life after for the believer is joy and peace and happy and all kind of good stuff. The life of the unbeliever is not. It's not going to be anything close to nice. For the carnal mind is death. But the spiritual mind is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Everything I did as a lost man was for me. Nothing for God, nothing to bring honor to Him, nothing to bring glory to Him, nothing to lift Him up. Thank you, God, you let me be born, but I got it from here. That's how we were. All of us were tooth and nail trying to prove we could do something better than somebody else. Trying to push somebody else down so we could pick ourselves up. But if you read Philippians 2, it said esteeming others more important than ourselves. That's a change around. One day I'm all about me and what I can get, and the next day I'm all about how can I get you to a better place? How can I tell you that you're more important than me? If God saved me, He can save you. If God changed me, He can change you. If God is so able to deliver somebody from the pits of hell, He can always deliver people from the pits of hell. He has not stopped. There will be a day He stops, but right now He has not stopped. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, until God knocked me off my horse, should I say. Until God so showed me His power, the fact that there is a place called hell, there is a place of judgment, there is a place, says that for it, the law of me did not worry about that. My carnal mind wasn't worried about a place called hell. Man, people talk about hell all the time, but who cares? That's the way the carnal mind acts. I got plenty of time for that Jesus stuff later. I got plenty of time to start getting religious later. Please don't get religious. But that's the way the carnal mind works. I have time for that God stuff when I get through with all my world stuff. When I get through with my partying and my playing and my stuff, I want you to know you may not make it through your stuff to get to that other place. You may not live that long. I remember a boy who got a Volkswagen. He thought he was the king of the world. He thought the whole world was ahead of him. In one night trip, he disobeyed his parents, went for a ride to go see a girl, run off the road, tried to play with a radio, rolled that bad boy over three times. Ended up in the back seat in the Volkswagen. If you've ever been in one, that's hard to do. Went from the front seat to the back seat. The roof was caved in into the top of the front seat. The back seat flipped over on top of him. The back window was gone out totally. How he stayed in the car, I have no idea. But he walked out with a bruise on his shin. I'm telling you, life can be over just that second. Nothing says that boy should have walked out of that Volkswagen. Nothing. But I'm telling you, he's right here, right now. Right here, right now. God's grace. God knew there was a time where I'd be saved. I would not count that you're going to wait for a time, because your time could be today. Anyways, let's get to the good stuff. That was free. Because, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Did we read something like that the other day? Without faith it is impossible to please God. They that come to God must believe that He is God and is a rewarder to them that seek Him. Right there in the shorter version is, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God, unless you have faith that God is God, that He sent His Son that died on the cross for you, raised for you, is seated in the heavenlies for you, then you're in the flesh. And you cannot please God. You can bring your gifts. You can bring your offerings. You can tell Him one day, well, God, I went to church. I endured all that preaching. I suffered for you terribly. And He's going to say, really? Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. And I hope you're not enduring this preaching, but there are folks who seem to think that sometime, I'm sure. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. If so be that the Spirit dwelleth in you. And you say, well, how do I know? You'll know. You will know because your idea of sin will have changed. Your idea of the things you ought to be doing will have changed. Your idea of the fact that God has saved you, delivered you, put His Spirit inside of you to do things that are godly will be apparent to you. God in John chapter 5 says, it's written that you may know This thing ain't written so you can guess at it. This ain't a hope so, maybe so, kind of so. When you get saved, you know it. Your whole life starts changing immediately. Maybe not all at the same time, but things just keep happening different. You keep growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You keep coming to an understanding, whoa, that's over. I didn't know that was sin. And now all of a sudden, I can't do that anymore. That's not good. I can't have that appearance. In fact, it says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That covers a broad range of stuff. And you have to get your own stuff, because I got mine. My sins are mine. My stuff. And I'm not going to sit here and worry about your stuff, because my stuff's enough. It says here, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And I'll guarantee you, if you're born again, you know this. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And I must say, you also will know that you're not saved also. If that Spirit is not in you, moving you, churning you, doing that, you also know that you're not. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, Christ paid my sin debt. When He became sin on that cross, when He took my sin, I didn't give it to Him, I didn't lay it down to Him. He took my sin on that cross. He became sin for me. He took my place in front of the Judge Almighty, and He bore all the punishment. Amen. When I stand in front of God, I am standing in front of God redeemed and justified. Whoops, I'm getting in the wrong sermon. And glorified. I'm getting in the wrong sermon. I'm going to hear that tonight. Whew. That's some good stuff though, brother. It says here, I ain't like I used to be. If so, Christ be in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life and of righteousness. Y'all looking at a righteous guy. Not because of me, not because of anything I've done, but because of Jesus Christ. He took my sin. He made a swap with me. Boy, it was a mean swap too, because I got all of His righteousness. And He got all of my sinfulness. That is a trade. Boy, you better make that trade. That is a trade that I would never go back. You know, I don't think I got a good deal here.
Yeah.
No. I got His righteousness. I am in the family of God. I am a son. I am an heir. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What would I give back for all that sin? Not a thing. I have been made righteous. He became sin. I was made righteous. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, I have not seen the finish of this race yet. I am in the heart. I have a new heart. I have the Spirit of God living in me. But right now I'm still walking in that dead man shell that I always had. But there will be a day when this corruptible body shall put on incorruption. I will be able to walk through walls supposedly just like Jesus did. If He did and I got the same kind of body He had, maybe so. I won't bet on that, but maybe so. But I do know this, that the body that I will have will not want to go do the sins that this body here does. It will not want to be unholy. It will not want to be unrighteous. It will not want to do the things of the earth. It will want to do the things of heaven and of God and of holiness and of righteousness and of spirituality. It says here that if He dwells in me, the one that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ shall also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, if I get dead before that takes place, I also have a promise that He's still coming to get me. If I ain't dead when that takes place, I have this promise that I will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. This corruptible shall be changed. I'm sticking to that promise. Anytime God gives me a promise, I'm hanging on to it. Because I know He can't lie. If He can't lie, that's like money in the bank. It's got dividends just to kick it off. It says here, therefore, brethren, that'd be y'all guys. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. So we're betwixt two places here. I've got this earthly body that still wants to do a bunch of stuff here. And I got this spiritual mindedness that wants to do things for God, righteousness, holiness, peace, joy, all the things that are right. And they're in contention with each other. So, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. My flesh didn't do nothing but bring me down. My worldly, manly part didn't do anything but bring me away from God. So that if we live after the flesh, we shall die. So if I just continue, let's just say I was saved and I says, man, I ain't got time for going to church. I ain't got time for reading my Bible. I ain't got time for praying and stuff. Now, could there be such a Christian? I suppose there could. God's grace saves somebody. I guess He could sort of say wishy-washy. I don't think so. But the thing is, if I stayed where I was when He saved me, no growth, no trying to find out more, no seeking, no things like that, that is no good for us. God saved us to grow. God saved us to learn. God saved us. Now, I don't know that I'll ever be as smart as some of the theologian guys out there. I really don't. But He didn't save me just to stay where I was. He saved me to read this book. He saved me to be around people who know what they're talking about. He saved me to be around people who love God, that I could say there are people, there are some folks who actually understand the love of God, who actually understand that God has saved them purely and simply by grace, not of works, not of their good looks, not of anything else they could do, purely because He just wanted to. And that's a hard one for someone to chew on. God saved me just because He wanted to. Well, wouldn't anybody want me to be saved that way? Who would want to be against me getting saved that way? That's coming tonight. So we see here, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. As we've been preaching, none of us will ever get totally sinless. Not here. But we should, with all diligence. You remember the folks who got saved and they went and took all their books on witchcraft and all their books on things they shouldn't have and all the things that were around them that they didn't have, and they brought it all and they put it in a pile and they burned it, and it was a great sum of money's worth of stuff. We probably could do a good deal of cleaning around our closets and stuff like that. I mean, because everything we have, believe it, our TVs, even on the bestest of channels, have nudity just thrown at us left and right. Everything that we should stay away from is bombarding our mind all day long. You drive down the road. There used to be a song about a girl sitting on a billboard with nothing but a towel on. All day long, lust and pride in everything is bombarding us. And in this life, godliness and holiness and righteousness is tried to be pushed down and pushed away because the world likes lost people, because as long as you're sinning this way, that way I can sin this way, you won't condemn me because you're doing the very same thing I'm doing. So therefore, I won't condemn you because you're doing the same thing I'm doing. And everybody's just happy, happy, happy. That's not the way the spiritual mind works. The spiritual mind says, let's clean out the closets. Let's clean up our language. Let's clean up what we can watch to the best of our abilities. Let's clean up what we read to the best of our abilities. Let's clean up. That will never make us sinless. And that will sure make us different from everybody else. Because they say, hey, did you see that movie? No, I don't go see movies like that. Really? I thought everybody saw that movie. No, I didn't see that movie. There's nothing wrong with saying I didn't see that movie. There's nothing wrong with I didn't go to that dance. Or there's nothing wrong with I didn't go to this place. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, the Bible says point blank that the places and the people you used to hang around with will think you're really, really weird. Because when you get saved, you don't want to go hang around there no more. He won't go party with us no more. He won't go play with us no more. He won't go to this and that and the other with us no more. He is really a stick in the mud. Praise God. You find that in Peter, short version. It says here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. I may not be the shiningest son there is out there, but I am a son. I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Nowhere, this is old school, this is before salvation. Well, I'm as good as them, preacher. I may not be on the front row in heaven, I may be on the back row. But I'm in, because if that guy's in and that guy's in, then I must be in. But when I saw Jesus for what he was, I realized you don't get in by judging yourself against each other. When you judge yourself against Jesus Christ and fall at his feet and say, save me, Lord, because I ain't near as righteous as you. He's the one who's righteous. He's the one who's holy. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that died on the cross. He was the one who was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He's the one who has paid it lock, stock, and barrel. And I don't owe anything but to say, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And realize He is God. And He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Did it say diligent? Maybe not. But seek Him. It says here, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Look here. While I may still sin, I have no fear of ever being cast out. I don't want to try to make the grace of God look small, but even while I may still sin, He will never wake up one day and say, man, that Charlie was just hopeless. You know, he just didn't get it. I'm going to chunk him back. No. If He saved me, if He died for me, if He poured out that precious blood for me, He will in no wise ever cast me back. There is not one soul that He is not able to save to the fullest. There's not one of us He's not able to bring all the way to the finished product. He will make me clean one day. He will burn me off till I will be new and shiny one day. I'm not under bondage of fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. There's an old school rule, and back in the old days, you could cast out a son. A natural son. You could get rid of him if you didn't like him. But if you picked out and looked out there and says, I'm going to adopt that young'un right there. From then on, he was your responsibility. You could not throw him back. You could not kick him out, no matter what he did. Your natural son, you could get rid of. But if you adopted a child, the law was, once you adopt that child, you can never get rid of him. So it says here, I have received the spirit of adoption. God has adopted me into His family. And if He has adopted me into His family, He can never, because of His promise of adoption, He can never throw me back. He can never unlove me. He can never not bring me home. I have been adopted. I can cry out, Abba, Father. And all these people that say, "Our Father which art in heaven," at the ball games and all that, most of these people don't know who God is. But I can say, "Abba, Father, the one who saved me by His grace, the one who poured out His blood for my sins. I have a Father who has adopted me, who has brought me to the place of knowing that He will never, ever let me go." The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In 1 John, we could find out about that. If you have confessed it and you've made it verbal, whatever, you can't just do that lightly. The fact that you can tell somebody, "I have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ," cannot be said lightly. The fact that I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, that Him alone paid the whole sin debt, cannot be said lightly. Now you can say, "Oh, I know Jesus. Oh yeah, He's supposed to be the Son of God." That's not taking it very serious. "Oh, I hear that if you believe in Him," if all you've heard, done is heard, you haven't believed. "And if children, then heirs." I don't own everything God the Father owns, but I am joint heir with everything that Jesus Christ owns. It says here, heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Christ owns, I also own. Now, I don't get a... That's way beyond my pay grade, I guarantee you. We'll let the theologians tell you all about that. I'm just telling you, you as a believer own way more than you'll ever know. You as a believer have more power than you'll ever know. You as a believer can do better than you ever thought you could do. It says here, "I am joint heirs with Christ. And if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Tonight we're going to hear that we get called. Tonight we're going to hear that when the called ones got sanctified. Tonight we're going to hear that the sanctified ones get glorified. Now that, you say, "Ain't we supposed to bring glory to God?" Well, we bring glory to God, but He also glorifies us. We will be seated in the heavenlies. "For I reckon the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I can only imagine how God is going to get glory out of me. How do you? That's above my pay grade to even say. Man, there's no way I could work up anything that would come out to be like that. It is Him revealing glory in us who are believers. Man, you understand when He comes back in the second coming, when He comes back with all the saints, the 10,000s of 1,000s of saints who are going to bring judgment on all those other folks, He's going to be able to lay us out and He'll be beaming from ear to ear. I know He's going to speak and all these things are going to be taking place, but He's going to say, "These are all mine." He'll probably even go around, "These are all mine. These are the redeemed. These are the blood bought. These are the born again. These are the one that I prayed out my blood for. These are the ones that the Father have given me." Man. I ain't even got a clue how good that's going to be. But I'm going to tell you what. Lest you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you'll miss it. Lest you understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins, you'll miss it. Lest you put your faith in Him as in He is the only thing the only object, the only author, the only completer of your salvation. You don't help him. You can't nudge him along. You can't add to. He does it all himself. And today I would hope that everybody here would be at that place. I would hope that everybody here would understand that it's him and it's him alone. And without that, you are without hope. I'm not saying that he can't save you tomorrow. I'm not saying he can't save you next week. But I will say that as far as I'm concerned, today is the day. Today is the day to make it known if God has moved on you. Don't be like the boy in the Volkswagen. He could have very easily been dead that day. Disobedient. Out of the will of his parents. Out of the will of God. Could have very easily have died right then and there. But the providence of God said, not today. I didn't know that. God knew that. And I can name you hundreds of times where I should have been dead. Hundreds. But God so fit to see me to get saved. And why he did, I have no idea. But I do know this. Because it brought him pleasure. Why should he think? What is man that he should think on us? Why should he care about us? Because it brought him pleasure.
Let's get our books and turn to 372, I think. Let me verify that.